Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
And Judy is screening calls right now. If you want to talk to Dr. Debbie or to Joey Villani, the dog father, about your grooming questions, he's impeccably groomed, by the way. Don't forget, you can also ask your questions from the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. And we'll go to those phones in just a couple of seconds here. Lori, what are you working for this hour's news?
We are finding out from some new research, grain-free pet diets. Are they good or bad for your pet?
I hope they're good, because I've been buying a grain-free diet, and I've been spending a little bit of extra money to do that for the last year or so.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, okay. That's on the way. Let's go to the phones. Oh, by the way, in a few minutes, we're going to talk to a guy who has the 10 weirdest animal laws. He's a lawyer for the Animal Legal Defense Fund. These guys doing fabulous work to protect all the animals worldwide. And he'll be on the show with us in just a few minutes. Have you heard of any of these laws yet, Judy?
I haven't. I'm surprised. I'm going to be surprised at it.
Okay. You'll have to stick around to find out what those crazy laws are about your animals. Let's go to line four for Dr. Debbie. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What's up?
Well, you know, I have two little chihuahuas, and I would say they're both slightly overweight, not extremely, but slightly, and one of them just snores up a storm.
And is the snoring, is it only when the baby's sleeping, or do you notice it at other times, just breathing?
Yes.
Okay.
No, just when she's sleeping, and she's little, and it's quite loud.
So, do you ever notice her waking up in the night? If she's snoring, does she ever kind of wake up like a person does with sleep apnea?
No, she doesn't. She's in a pretty deep sleep. I could probably just move her little arms and legs and let them drop, and she doesn't even know we're there.
Well, when we talk about snoring in dogs, we describe it in the veterinary world kind of either as a snore or as a stertor, S-T-E-R-T-O-R. And it's basically the sound that we hear when a dog is breathing in and there's something that's actually causing a vibration or even obstructing the airway in some capacity. So that might be soft tissue. It could be fluid. So it isn't necessarily something that I would say is a normal thing. It's usually an indication that there's something obstructing that area. And that's why I ask about the sleep apnea, because dogs can suffer from that. And we see this commonly in breeds like the English Bulldog or even the King Charles, where they can have an airway obstructive problem. Where they can actually have trouble getting air. They cannot tolerate maybe high temperatures or exercise, heat, and sometimes even sleeping issues where they can't sleep.
When she gets really excited, she chokes.
Okay. Well, there could be some other things going on. The number one thing that I think of when I hear of a dog snoring, you mentioned one thing, was being chubby. We can see definitely more fat deposition kind of in the pet's body that can affect their breathing. And that might be that they have a limited lung capacity or even some fat up in the pharyngeal area. So that could be a possibility that could be relating to it. But in many dogs, this kind of snoring can be a problem with the soft palate. And just like people, we wouldn't know about that unless we actually did a throat exam. And that's usually done with a pet kind of lightly sedated, where we can actually look down the back of the throat at the soft palate, as well as where the vocal folds are in the voice box area, and seeing how that whole area looks. So that's kind of how we would determine how serious of a problem. But, you know, if you've admitted your pet has a weight problem, number one would be try to trim this baby down, because that may translate into better breathing, which, again, it's not normal, so we may actually have some added stress to her respiratory capacity. So that's something to think about. And if she does have a coughing, gagging type thing, I would encourage you to have that checked with your veterinarian, because these guys oftentimes can have a whole host of things, small little tiny tracheas, sometimes what we call a collapsing trachea, which is it's an aspect of the airway that in many dogs becomes weakened. So there's a little bit of like a soft tissue or skin, if you will, on part of the trachea. It's not all cartilage, and that area can get a little weak and kind of kind of get sucked into the airway with time. And especially if we are working against extra forces, you know, we've got a pet that's got to breathe in harder because they've got a long, soft palate, or they've, you know, got a narrow little trachea. And then that makes it harder and harder to manage that other problem. So it really might be something to have your vet look at and decide if it's something that we need to address or not.
Well, she's going to be going in next month and getting her teeth cleaned, so she's going to be under. So I will have them do a really – I'll talk to them about it and do a really good exam and see if we've got more going on. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that would be perfect. And actually, my first request would be, yeah, make sure that chest and everything looks good and they know what they're getting into respiratory-wise, but that would be ideal to take a look at things while they're doing the dental.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. Good. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call, Sherry. Now, you mentioned sleep apnea.
Uh-huh.
Can animals really have sleep apnea?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they can.
Do they have to wear a little CPAP machine?
Unfortunately, I'm not aware of one of those that's actually of use. But, you know, when you look at some of the English bulldogs in particular, I know we talked about this before, that, you know, they're a breed that's quite transformed from what a standard dog looks like. So their nasal area, their upper pharyngeal area, kind of the back of the throat, all of that can have some dynamic changes that make it hard to get easy breathing. So the air doesn't just flow through unimpeded. So it actually kind of can get blocked off from a long, soft palate, which means that they may wake themselves up when they're sleeping, just like a person who's trying to catch their breath. So it can happen. And it's not usually something that's just real obvious, a single thing. But when we look at the history that one of these animals might have, there's a lot of different things that kind of all fit together that we can suppose that may be happening. But I'm not really aware of sleep studies in dogs so much as, you know, we look at all those other things.
Lori, you have some snorers, don't you?
You can't hear him?
But you like it, don't you?
No, I just got that dirty. You're talking about me, Mom, look? Yeah, they snore all the time.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. I've got a mix. It's a like a dachshund poodle mix. And sometimes when most of the time when we let her out, it seems like she doesn't want to come in. We'll call her. We'll try to entice her to come in, and she'll just sit there and look at us.
Okay.
Yeah.
And does she?
I mean, it's crazy.
What do you do then when she's doing this?
Well, we've got two dogs, and sometimes we'll let the little dog out, and she'll run around them, and then they'll both come back in. But for some reason, it's like she needs a special invitation or something.
And do you ever go out and actually have to physically bring her in?
We've done that before, yep.
Okay, and how does she react to that? Does she let you pick her up, or does she try to run away from you?
She'll usually let us pick her up.
Okay. Well, you know, partly she may want an invitation, but the other part of this is that I would say is that she really needs to have a little more direction. And for some dogs, just letting them out to do their business and come back in is great because they kind of get the whole system down. She may like it out there. She may be having a good time. For her, the motivation to stay outside sounds great. So why do we want to go inside? Just like those little kids playing in the alleyway, you know, they're playing kick the can. They don't want to come in. So we need to just kind of be that kind of hand that reaches out. And this may mean that you need to take her out on a leash and actually take her out to do her biz and bring her back in and set that pattern and using your voice commands, you know, in the house, come, whatever voice commands that you have taught her so far when you're doing leash training, and help to reassert that when you go outside and we're done, if you're done with your business, we're going back inside. And that's different than if you've left her outside and she's outside playing for the afternoon and then all of a sudden you want her in, because for some dogs, unless you have that direct hand on them, and a leash is equivalent to the hand. So if you have that leash on her, you can bring her in. It's kind of like the long arm of the law, you know?
Yeah.
But otherwise, if she's not reacting aggressively, negatively, you know, other than just kind of having her stare at you perplexingly, you know, I don't see any harm in that behavior other than, you know, it could set up for a dog that chooses to do her own will, if you will.
Yeah, she is like that, but she's a very smart dog. That's why I don't understand why we can't train her to come in the house when we want her to.
She's got your number.
We need to have a better control on the situation where we can direct her behaviors and tell her, come inside, and then make that actually happen in a physical way, not yanking her by the scruff or, you know, kicking her or doing anything crazy like that. But we want to just be able to control that situation.
Does she sleep in bed with you, Jim?
Is she what?
Does she sleep in bed with you?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
She thinks she's the boss. Yeah.
Does that take away some of our power by...
Absolutely.
It does.
They think they're human.
Yeah, well, you're kind of on even playing ground then if, you know, if she's sleeping in the bed with you. And I know, what, 85% of our listeners probably have their pets in the bed with them. But for some dogs, it can be a problem where they just kind of forget who's in charge because, you know, they're sleeping in the nice, you know, duvet and, you know, they got their little warm bed there and they've got control of their whole world. So, yeah, the simple thing is take back the leash and start to control that situation when you take her in outdoors, and you'll find that will help to remind her that this is the program and this is what we're supposed to do.
Good luck with that, Jim. I appreciate your time today.
All right, thank you.
Well, this portion of Animal Radio is underwritten by Fear Free Happy Homes. Don't forget, you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Download it now. It's made possible by Fear Free Happy Homes. Helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com. And thanks, Fear Free, for underwriting Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hey, everybody, this is Brett Michaels, and I just want to say, you, right now, want to take... Wait, give me the line again. My brain skipped.
Brett Michaels...
I just had one of my brain hemorrhage brain farts.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. I don't want to be responsible for that.
Trust me, it's me. Go ahead.
Animal Radio? Brett Michaels Animal Radio?
You got it. I knew the Animal Radio. Like, okay, here we go. Hey, this is Brett Michaels. You're listening to Animal Radio, and take care of your pets. They will rock your world.
Hey, Eric and Rashi here, hosts of the CBS TV series Lucky Dog.
We're also the spokespeople for the 14th annual Get Your Licks on Route 66 Pet Adoption Tour, brought to you by Phyto-Friendly Magazine.
The tour travels from Los Angeles to Chicago, stopping at shelters along the way to support adoption events.
Join us and show sponsor Chewy at the tour's kickoff event on Saturday, August 27th, where lots of great pets will be available for adoption.
To find out where the tour stops near you, log on to phytofriendly.com, and who knows, you just might find your new forever friend.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Let's see. We're going to go to line four in just a couple, line three in just a couple of seconds here, but let's check in and see what's going to be happening in the newsroom in about 10 minutes from now. Hi, Lori.
Hey, Hal. We're going to talk about the most common dog allergies, and I guarantee they are not even close to what you're thinking.
And we're talking about their dog allergies.
Right, the allergies that dogs have.
Okay. Hi, Julie. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
Where are you today?
I'm in Woodland Hills, California.
Lovely. Are you listening on Coast or XM?
On Coast.
Okay. How can we help you today?
Well, I have a silky terrier and sweet little guy, but he's 7 years old, and he has developed he scratches and he chews and he's pulled out some of his hair. Some of his hair is like broken off, and he's such a pretty little guy because I keep his hair long.
And the true silky look then, huh?
Yeah, and I've gone over him, you know, with a flea comb, so I'm always on top of any flea problem, which he really doesn't seem to have. And I don't know what this scratching and chewing is. I mean, he's been doing...
Okay, are there certain areas on his body where he's chewing?
No, not really. I mean, during the summertime, I mean, he did have some flea bites, I really keep on top of looking for fleas on him. And I give him a bath. I bathe him, like, once a week.
Okay. And as far as, are you currently using a flea product?
No, I'm not.
Okay, because it would definitely, even though you're not seeing them, I always like to make sure if we're in a flea environment and we have a pet that is scratching and having hair coat problems, indoors, fleas can live just fine. So I want to make sure that we're on more of a year-round protection, especially if we're having this kind of scratching, itching thing, because one little flea bite can last weeks. Oh, really? And so even if we're not having a huge burden of fleas, we could have a lot of the itch. So that would be one thing I'd make sure we're still very aggressive about that.
I've used that, like, Advantage and, you know, that stuff, and I don't know, it bothers me, because when he put that on him, that took my nail polish off my nails, and I'm just wondering what it's doing to him, and toxic chemicals really bother me.
Yeah, and I guess we have kind of the pros and cons of, you know, if we have fleas, we need to find some type of treatment for that we're comfortable with. Now, there are certain things you can use in the home. There are certain types of medications that can be given orally. And then there's the topical type medicine. So, you know, there's definitely different things, and I would talk to the veterinarians in your area what they are comfortable using, because, you know, if you're not comfortable using a topical product, there may be an alternative that is available to you. But beyond the fleas, you know, as far as itching in dogs, you know, we kind of always kind of lump a whole category of skin problems that are allergies. And sometimes pets can really have allergies, and sometimes they have infections and other problems there. But I would say that this would really warrant looking into things a bit more. You know, I could certainly recommend things like fatty acids or antihistamines to help with some mild itching, but this really would warrant, you know, a trip to your vet, make sure we don't have fleas, and then maybe talk about doing some sampling from our skin and see which direction we need to go, because there's really a lot that we can do in the dermatology world for dogs. If it's something nutritional we need to go towards, and go towards a fatty acid or a zinc supplement, or if we need to...
his food, because I was feeding him that dog food. I cook chicken for him. I boil chicken, skinless, boneless chicken breast. I give him that, and then his dry food, I was giving him that Candid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stopped doing that. I thought maybe it's the food. And so now I've got him on Avoderm. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's still, you know, he's still doing the scratching business.
Okay. And the truth is, with any kind of food change that we do for the purposes of presuming a food allergy, is we have to do it for a month to 2 months. We need to make sure there's nothing else besides, like, the chicken you're cooking, but even the little treats, the biscuits, anything that he might be ingesting will throw off that whole test of that food if he's getting even the slightest little nibble of other things along the way. So I just make sure we re-examine that. And then, you know, I would like to see you really maybe talk to your vet and see about using a hypoallergenic level of diet. There's some great hydrolyzed protein diets that your vet can recommend that are basically utilized as food for the dog, but they kind of sneak past their immune system in their intestinal tract. And for a pet that might have a food allergy, that can be a great avenue to go. So I think we could do a lot more, but I would really want to see. I mean, I love talking to you, and I'm glad you're asking my advice, but I think you really need to start working with a veterinarian to work out some of these different things so that we can get you on the right track.
I know we're working on the technology right now, Julie, so that you can just hold your animal up to the speaker. We haven't perfected it yet, unfortunately.
With the internet, we might be able to get there. You never know.
Yeah.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Alan Cable, it's your mass funtainment for your heart and your head. Here's your real dogs doing amazing things. Watch.
You wouldn't think he's 10 years old just by the way he acts.
Tucker gets into a lot of trouble.
Known in the family to be the food burglar.
And because of that, an amazing secret that was hiding in Tucker's belly is about to be revealed to the world.
After I turn around, the popsicle is gone.
Tucker ate it stick and all.
You know, smacking his jaws.
But you know, with dogs, often what goes in comes right back out.
Stick and all, everything came out.
2 days later, something else came out.
And I look in the paper towel, and here is my wedding ring. I kid you not. My wedding ring?
Her ring went missing 5 years ago.
I was devastated.
The vet thinks the popsicle stick may have dislodged the ring.
Friends have said, I want a dog that throws up diamonds. Like, who doesn't, right? So I have my wedding ring back, and Tucker is, he's my hero.
Hero? That dog's a jewel thief.
And I don't even care.
This is
Animal Radio, baby.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
This is an Animal Radio News Update brought to you by Fear Free. Fear Free takes the pet out of petrified and puts the treat into treatment. To learn more and find a certified Fear Free veterinary professional near you, visit fearfreepets.com.
I'm Lori Brooks. How many hours or days, weeks, months, years of research have you put into finding out what kind of food is best to feed your pet? I'm sure it is a ton. But, you know, these days, a lot of pet food is inspired by meals eaten by their wild ancestors, like, you know, all the grain-free diets, all meat and raw food diets, too. But are these diets really better for your pets? Well, veterinarians and pet nutrition researchers say they probably are not. Yeah, you heard that right. Not. According to clinical veterinary nutritionist at Tufts University, grain-free foods were one of the fastest growing sectors of the pet food market last year, but they warn it's simply a marketing trend. Of course. A lot of pet foods market themselves, they say, by what is not in it. You see those lists on the front of the bag or the can, such as no grain or no byproducts, no artificial colors, etc. Researchers say that those of us who buy pet food think that if we pay a lot of money for it and there are a lot of exclusions listed on it, that the food must be better and healthier. However, they warn we're really just buying into an idea, not necessarily a better product, because, listen to this, they say there is no data to support the claim that grain-free diets are any better for pets.
Wow, didn't know
experts,
that.
Yeah. News flash, right? Yeah. Experts explain that pet parents have this false impression that grains are more likely to cause an allergic reaction, but they say, it's actually much more common for dogs to have allergies to meat than to grain. They say that beef, chicken, eggs, dairy, and wheat are the most common allergies in dogs. They caution, by the way, against feeding pets raw meat, saying it's not uncommon also to find things like salmonella, E. coli, and listeria bacteria in raw meat, because that's really unlike when an animal is hunting in the wild. There are nowadays many opportunities for bacteria to contaminate meat between the time that the animal is slaughtered and when it finally reaches your pet's food bowl. Pretty shocking, huh?
It is.
Do you think that they actually know all that much about pet food? And the reason why I'm asking that is these studies come out and you know, you think you're doing good the whole time, and then you're finding out, like, well, I guess it's no different than people food, and you're finding out, you know, what works and what's not working, and it changes again.
Well, you know what it is, and it's what I try to check into so many times with any products you buy these days, is the marketing on it.
Yep.
It's the product spin. What the companies are telling you to make you think it's better.
Yeah. And the same with human food, too.
Exactly.
Yes. I can't wait until they tell us that pizza and beer is much better for you than it is.
But it isn't?
Who cares?
Well, more and more pet parents these days are willing to go the financial distance for their pets to give them the very best life possible. American dog owners spend $2,033 toward their pet's better life on average each year, and cat owners are spending about half of that, about $1,040 a year. But when pet owners are forced to choose between big vet bills and the good life of their furry friends, dog owners, they say, are willing to pay more than cat owners, according to this survey by LendEDU.com. In fact, dog owners are willing to pay about $7,000 more than cat owners. So what is that actual number? Well, those who have dogs say they're willing to spend up to $10,725 to save their lives, while cat owners say they're willing to spend up to $3,450. But look at this. They're talking about people who own just dogs or just cats. But like most of us, we have both dogs and cats, right?
Yep.
So for those of us who have both dogs and cats, they say those pet parents are willing to spend up to $10,200 on average for either a cat or a dog and save their life. Maybe you're looking to do something new and exciting in your life, maybe a new job. Well, how about a whole new adventure and consider moving across the pond, you know, to England, where dog walkers earn a fifth more than the average UK salary by working only 2 weeks out of every month. So that's like working half of what most of us would. Dog walkers in the UK charge an average of almost $18 an hour per dog, and they walk 192 dogs per month on average. Are you following my math? That adds up to an annual earning of about $41,000, which is 20% higher than the British national average salary. Britons, by the way, spending on their pets is set to surpass $7 billion. They say that's a 25% increase since 2010. And around a fifth of that spending, by the way, goes on things like non-food items for pets, which includes, you know, pet toys, pet grooming, pet daycare, all the fun stuff. I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
The animals are getting wild here in the studio.
They are. They're running all over the place.
Hi, Denise. How are you?
Hi. I'm okay. Thank you. How's everybody there?
I think we're doing splendid.
Good.
Awesome here. Where are you calling from today?
South Central Pennsylvania.
Oh, near Reading?
Yes, about 15 miles west of Reading, actually.
Oh, well, how are you doing today? What's going on?
I have a cat that I thought was a tortoiseshell male, and I was told that it was rare.
Tortoiseshell
male. And I was not aware of that. What is the determining factor as to how to tell if it's a tortoiseshell?
Well, so when we're talking about colors of cats, there's a lot of people know what a calico is, and calico is a tricolor. So you've got usually like black, red, and white. A tortoiseshell is usually a two-color cat without white. So it could be red and black, brown and black, kind of that. Now, what's interesting is usually the red coat color is associated with females. So in most cases, a tortoiseshell cat or a calico cat is a female. The trait for that orange color is actually on the female X chromosome. So in order to have a male, and if we verified sex, and you've had your vet check out and make sure we are, in fact, a male versus female,
Yep.
And we've confirmed it.
He's got the equipment.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
He's mostly brown with black striping and spotted mottled black, mm-hmm. and a tiny bit of a lighter beige.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, this is pretty rare to have a male that's a calico or a tortoiseshell. And estimates, although it's not really known for certain, it's about 1 in 3,000. And they're kind of neat, interesting little guys. You can actually specifically test their genetic background, and that can be done by a test through your veterinarian. We have to send it out to special labs. I think the closest one on my West Coast is we usually send to the vet school at UC Davis in California. But I'm sure on the East Coast there's a similar testing on that area.
Denise, what difference will it make ultimately for you?
Well, I was thinking that if he is indeed a rare tortoise shell or, you know, whatever, then I would put him into shows or something of that nature.
Oh, I bet you wish, right? You're not alone. Yeah. People who have these kitties, they used to call these cat money cats because there's a belief that they're somehow rare, valuable, going to make you lots of money. The bad news is that they're usually sterile. So they're of no value to any breeding generations other than kind of being cool, quirky, and having kind of talk over at parties that you've got a kind of an unusual cat. It's really not going to make him more desired in any kind of circuit, show or otherwise. So sorry. Okay. Some people say they have really cool personalities and they're really, just interesting cats. But you will want to get them neutered just for the normal, typical reasons. For breeding sake, he's got blanks. So.
Wow.
Okay, well, He's a rescue. I trapped a feral to just try to get her neutered and stuff, and as soon as I trapped her, I saw that she was pregnant, and she had 5 kittens almost immediately after I trapped her. So I've got 5 of them.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, hopefully you have some answers there, Denise.
All right. Thank you very much for all your help.
Thanks for your call today. Calling from the Reading area, listening on WEEU in Reading, Pennsylvania. Interesting. I always learned something. I had no idea that they'd be shooting blanks.
I didn't either. I'd never heard of that.
Yeah, and you know, in people, there's the syndrome called Klinefelter syndrome, and it's the similar thing where they have 2 X chromosomes and 1 Y chromosome. Although in cats, there can be some other variations in the chromosomes with this condition.
So. Need a fix of the good stuff? Get more Animal Radio with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Ow, 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 ow. Always sounds like you're saying ow there.
I'm dancing away over here, Hal.
I noticed that. You're getting down. Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Fat and sassy.
Fat and sassy. I'll have to remember that. Write that one down. That's good. I like it. Fat and sassy. Where are you fat and sassy from today?
Oh, we're in California.
In California. Okay. How can we help you?
Well, I got a golden retriever. He's about not quite a month and a year and a half, just almost a little under a year and a half.
Okay.
And he's a couple times he's had problems with his backside. His tail would not, he'd stop. If you moved from side to side, it didn't bother him, but if you tried to lift it, it did. And we noticed that he was constipated. So this happened one time, and evidently he cleared himself up because he came back in the house, and he went for 2 or 3 days like that, and then he was fine. He come back in, he's just happy as can be, and everything's fine. He did it again for 2 or 3 days, just recently, just this last week, and now he's fine again. And I don't know if the tail being stiff and, you know, holding it down, but tucking it between his legs and not moving it, if that's got something to do with constipation or not.
Well, yeah, it certainly can. And anything that kind of goes on in the whole hindquarter area can definitely affect the carriage of the tail, or basically how well that they hold it up and wag it and show off especially a golden retriever, those gorgeous feathers that they have.
Oh, yeah.
So, when he was constipated, were you pretty comfortable that you saw hard to pass poops, or was he having diarrhea? Or
no,
tell me about the poop story.
He was having a hard time passing it.
Okay. And then when it came out, it was dry and oversized?
Well, my son said it was okay. I mean, he's 24, so you got to know. I mean, I wasn't home. He called me and said, you know, he finally went to the bathroom, and it looked, I asked him if it looked good or, you know, what it looked like. He said, well, it looked like poop.
Huh, okay. Because typically, if I expect a pet to be constipated, you know, let's get serious about describing poop here on the air. We're looking for, you know, constipated poop is usually dry, hard to pass, oversized. If we're not seeing that corresponding with when he was having troubles, it could be something else causing pain. So it may not necessarily be a constipation issue. So if we got pretty good confirmation, and, you know, your son should know, everyone knows crap to some degree, but yeah. If you're comfortable that he's described that and said, yeah, Dad, you know, this is really some unusual looking poop. It's dry. It looked like, you know, he was having a hard time passing it. If not, then we'd definitely go looking for other things. And now, does your dog do much swimming?
No, not right now. He has in the summertime, but
okay. I got to tell my dogs that, because my dogs are in the pool. I swear, you know, three times a day still.
He plays in the mud and everything. He's happy now. I mean, he ate good during the whole time. He just didn't get rid of it. And he walked funny, and he'd go out, and he'd try to go, and he'd strain and everything. He just couldn't do anything. But I was worried about it. You know, it's the second time it's happened to him. I don't know if it's something he ate in the yard or what.
Yeah, and that inconsistent, the occasional trouble going to the bathroom, it's certainly possible, you know, that, you know, he acquired something that was more interesting than the typical dog food, and that could cause some havoc going through. Even a dog that, say, gets rawhide chews, nothing necessarily wrong with that, but we can see a pattern of inconsistent poops for many dogs that have that ingest rawhides. It can cause the diarrhea, and then it can kind of look like they're having trouble passing the subsequent poop. So I would say...
Go ahead. Tree limbs. He eats tree limbs and twigs.
Ah, all right.
All he's fascinated with them. He comes in there like toothpicks with him. He comes in and chews them up on the floor.
Oh, gotta stop that.
I think he's a woodpecker.
Well, definitely. I mean, as far as a lot of these guys, they look for stuff to chew. And, you know, if he is ingesting things like that, tree limbs, you know, your neighbor's shrubs, what have you, then that definitely that can create some havoc going through. So you might want to work. My prescription for you might be to really super monitor his intake and his output over a period of a week to 2 weeks. And during that time, watch him closely, make sure he doesn't have access to some of these different behaviors of chewing, and see what those poops are looking like. If everything's going good and we're comfortable that he's not getting into other things, then we may be comfortable to say, that occasional problem is likely to eating that bough off that tree or, you know, chewing something in the yard. But yeah, definitely, I make light of it, but, you know, we don't want to encourage that kind of chewing behavior because it just sets up for whole sets of digestive problems and foreign objects and all that wonderful stuff.
I'm thinking you can redirect that behavior with real treats or toys instead of, I mean, every time he goes up to the tree and starts to eat a tree limb or bark.
Yes.
Seriously, give him a toy or give him a treat. Or so, not to reward him for that, but give him, redirect his attention to something different than that. He shouldn't be doing that.
I've got a doggy door, and him and the other dog go out in and out a lot. He'll come in, he'll try to drag one through the door. You know, he'll have one 4 feet long sometimes.
Yeah,
that's not good for him.
Yeah.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
Have you ever been frustrated while trying to take a picture of your pet? They're sitting there looking so cute. You pick up your camera and they run away, jump out of the frame, or try to play with you, or maybe even attack the camera. Pet photographer Ian White suggests choosing a background that works well with your pet. For example, if you have a black lab, he'll show up better on a light-colored blanket. Pets model the best when they're a little tired and after a meal. Let them fall asleep on the selected background and then alert them with a treat or a squeaky toy. Be ready with that camera. Try to take the photo from eye level, which may mean lying on your stomach or having your pet up on a bed or furniture. Good luck. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
Hi, this is Dr. Paul on Incredible Radio. Is that what it is?
Animal Radio.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hello, this is Dr. Paul. on Animal Radio. You know, take care of the pets and make sure that in these hot days that they get in lots of water and don't tie them outside in the sun because then they get a heat stroke.
My friend, Animal Radio is brought to you by Bass Paws. Those of you that listen to the show regularly know that I'm a cat guy. I love myself some cats. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Bass Paws. They are the number one cat DNA test. Yeah, DNA test. Now get this, these guys at Bass Paws, they have the biggest feline genomic database in the world. Why would I want to know that? Well, it's pretty simple. We want our cats and all of our pets to live long, healthy lives. Bass Paws finds out your cat's breed, and we all know breed influences their personality, their traits. But most importantly, this will tell us your cat's hereditary genetic health conditions, because each breed comes with their own inherent health issues. This important information in the Bass Paws report can help your cat live longer and a better life. Here's the website, write it down. BasePaws.com. That's BasePaws.com. And use the code ANIMALRADIO and you'll get $25 off your first order. This is a special offer only available to Animal Radio listeners. Visit BasePaws.com and get $25 off by using the code ANIMALRADIO.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
In just a few minutes, we're going to talk to one of the attorneys from the Animal Legal Defense Fund. And you know, they do some really serious work over there, and I applaud them. But they actually sent me a fun little press release. They're talking about some of the strange and bizarre animal laws. For instance, in Ohio, if you live in Ohio, and if you do, you probably already know this, you definitely don't want your stallion mating in public.
The stallion can't initiate it.
Stallion can't initiate.
Jeez. But the mayor can.
These are all part of the weird laws that are on the books, and we'll find out more about them with the Animal Legal Defense Fund in just a couple of minutes. Lori, what are you working on over there in the newsroom?
Nothing nearly as exciting as that, for sure. But we do have some information that just came out, the new report from the Animal Poison Control Center. And we'll tell you what is the number one poison that people call them about.
I bet it's something people gave to their pet themselves.
Oh, I bet you're right.
You are so right, Dr. Debbie. Oh, I am.
You probably have to deal with that every week, too. Okay, so we'll find out what that is in just a couple of minutes. Let's go to the phones for Dr. Debbie right now. Going to Michaela. Hi, Michaela. How are you doing? Is it Michaela?
Michaela.
It sounds so much better when you say it. How are you doing, Michaela?
All right.
Where are you today?
I'm in Iowa.
Beautiful Iowa. How can we help you?
Well, I have an 8-year-old Italian greyhound who has mood swings.
Ah.
She can be fine, loving, cuddling, what have you, 1 minute, and then I'll use last night's episode as an example. I was cuddling with her and gave her a kiss and went to give her another kiss, and she turned right around and bit my nose.
Ooh. Holy cow.
She didn't.
Did she actually break the skin?
No, she didn't. But she put her teeth right across the bridge of my nose.
Hey, that's close enough for me. I don't need to get any closer than that. Well, she's definitely sending us a signal. So were you holding her at this time when this was going on?
No, she was laying next to me. And she doesn't give any growls or anything to say, I don't want that. You know, she just does the lunge.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And is this something that she's done throughout her life, or is that something just more recently?
It's more, I would say, within the last 3 or 4 years.
Well, I mean, the first thing I always like to do when we talk about an unexpected or an inappropriate bite, I guess there's never really an appropriate bite, but, you know, other than kids like teasing a dog where they might be like,
not even a love bite, a little love bite, a little nip?
No, it's not allowed in my book.
Okay.
At least not from dogs, we'll say.
Okay.
So as far as with what you're seeing right now, my feeling is that she has got a change in her boundaries. And while you're finding that this contact is fun and it's appropriate, she's taking those actions as a challenge. Uh-huh. And this is kind of the situation where I'm assuming she sleeps in the bed and she sleeps with you. Okay. So
that's where she was, too.
Okay. See, now there's some good and bad with that. The good is for most dogs, you know, they're a bed warmer at night and, you know, it gives us a good time to kind of bond with our pets. For certain dogs, this can be a real problem because there's a blurring of the lines of, you know, how does this system work and who's in charge in this household? Uh-huh. And for a dog that's doing what she is, we need to reassert those lines. And I'm not, you know, telling you to do anything mean or any rough training techniques, but this is really where I say she needs to get off of the bed, off of the furniture, and back on the floor.
Okay.
That physical distance in itself will make a huge difference once we reassert that to her, that, you know, this is where you're permitted and you're not permitted in these areas. Give her great beds, give her great sleeping areas, but she's not to be permitted high enough where she can be looking eye to eye with you in the bed. That may need to be done with keeping her on a light training leash, or even better, when we have a little pet that wants to snap, is a head halter, kind of like the gentle lead halters.
Okay.
That way you can maintain control of her and not put your hands or your face into a position where you can get at risk for a bite.
Uh-huh.
So it's really reclaiming the bed, reclaiming the couch, and then during all this, we got to practice basic obedience. And that's basically how you reassert that you're the boss in the house.
Okay.
So not by a hard hand, but by a gentle reminder. So that's the sit commands, the down commands, the stay, any little tricks or things that you've taught her through the years. We practice those and then we give her positive reinforcement. So basically, it's kind of like going back to puppy school. But we need to do that in conjunction with these physical changes in the home. And, you know, in the meantime, I would say, we don't want to get into a position where we are giving her affection at that same eye level. So, you know, you can invite her for affection, but it needs to be down at a lower level. And it needs to be something that you can control the situation by a light leash, a training leash, something in that way.
Okay.
So does that sound like something you can tackle, or are you going
to
run the other direction?
No, I can certainly try to. I did give her, and you probably wouldn't like it, but I gave her a light spank last night. And I told her no, that was not the right thing to do.
Yeah, it's just, you know, some dogs may respond to that, but with these type of situations, some dogs, it can escalate the problem.
Yeah.
So if we have a dog that has a feeling like, I've got to be a dominant, and, you know, this is my turf, a physical correction can actually escalate that to where you may be more likely to get bitten, or it could get more aggressive. So
okay.
I'm really just not a fan of that. I won't report you to animal services or anything like that, but I think that we could better handle this by coming at it from another direction.
Right. No, that's fine. I certainly don't beat her.
Yeah, maybe make a noise like, is that what you do, Judy?
Yeah, she knows the one. I just go like,
oh,
she just backs off. She knows. That's Mama says no.
But it's a shocking verbal correction is what you're doing, huh?
Okay.
Thanks for calling today. Hey, Cody, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Doing good.
Great.
What's going on?
Well, I have a six-month-old mutt, and she is eating my other dog's poop, and I'm wondering what I can do. We read that it was like a lack of nutrition or something, so we read we could give her liver, and we started feeding her liver and all that, but that's not working either.
Ew, I hate liver, man. Feel bad for your dog. Now, this is a puppy, a six-month-old puppy?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. It's not a nutritional problem. Dogs do this because they like it. We don't want to face the reality. They find it fun, and it's an enjoyable thing. And what's even more fun is they love to do it because we respond so negatively to it, and we chase them around trying to pull the little pieces out of their mouth, and there's a kind of a game involved with it. Now, that being said, there are dogs that kind of pick up this habit when they're young and may continue doing it throughout their whole lifetime. And then for those, I might be looking at some other health issues that are going on. But it's a natural thing. Puppies do this. They pick up poop just kind of like kids explore their environment. the trick is, the number one thing is we don't want to try to make a big deal about this. So when I deal with this problem, there's twofold that I'll do. One is I talk about training, and two, I talk about deterrence and avoidance. So
okay.
Training is really where you train yourself to not respond badly to this. So if you catch your dog doing this, we want to find an alternative for the pup to do. So instead of saying, hey, drop it, we're going to say, I got a squeaky toy. Look at this great squeaky toy. And you go running in the other direction, squeaking that thing as loud as you can, dancing around like a fool. That is going to be more fun than that little pile of poop, and that's going to draw your pet's interest towards that. And so if your dog fails to drop the poop and brings it along, hey, you've made some steps. At least you've got the dog's attention, and you're getting the right response. The second part of that is avoidance and a deterrence. So if we have a dog that we're taking outside, and we have no control over where they're going, and they're going potty at will, we really have no control over saying, hey, stop that, come here. So you need to take your pet out on a leash to the potty area and supervise that activity. Praise them up and down when they do their goods and when they walk by that pile of poop, and don't try to pick that up. And then the deterrence things. There's tons of different products out there that you can feed to dogs to make their poop taste bad, if you believe it. You have to do that. But there's oodles of different products out there. And, if it's a matter of your other dog's poops that are being ingested, then you can feed these products to your pet. And with repeated exposure, it helps to be a negative deterrent. And I've had people that they try all sorts of different things, Tabasco on the poop and all that stuff. And whatever works for you to deter them, that's great. I'm a fan of that. But the biggest thing is to not allow them to have that exposure in the first place. And then if you do see it happening, to really redirect the behavior to something else that is more favorable and more fun than the little squishy poops there.
Hope that helps you out.
That.
I appreciate your call, Cody.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hey, it's Vinny Penn, your party animal on Animal Radio. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining me. I wanted to tell you about a racket my brother's got going on. My brother's lived in New York City for about 20 years now, longer than that maybe even. And one of my sisters is going to be away for the holiday, and he's decided to come in and dog sit for her dog Lucky, while she's gone. Well, that's all well and good, because I figured he had a place to crash. Now, I didn't need to be bothered with him. I'd just, have him over when it suits me. And now, just got back to me that this is the deal that he procured to dog sit for his own sister. She pays for his train ticket in, round trip. She stocks the fridge with food, the car with gas, and the cupboards with booze. The only thing missing is an actual fee on top of it. Now, am I wrong? I mean, dog sitting I respect as a gig, but my brother really... he's really pulling a fast one here, and she is going for it. Plus, it's like she's forgotten how he was when we were kids. Half of her CDs are going to be gone. Silverware is going to be gone. A lot is going to be missing when she gets back. The more I think about it, I'd like to dog sit for Lori when she goes away. Vinny Penn, Party Animal, Animal Radio.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately, with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, Aisha.
Hi.
You must be a child of the 90s, a young gal, huh?
Oh, well, you're flattering, but not hardly. A child of the 70s.
Really? Aisha?
Yeah,
Aisha.
I thought
Aisha was kind of a newer name, no?
No, it's one of the older ones. All the other shows are the newer ones.
Ah, okay.
I'm one of the old shows.
So what's going on? I have Dr. Debbie right here. I understand something's going on with your animal.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Debbie. How are you doing?
Hi, super. And how about you?
I'm doing okay. I have a 3-year-old Doberman. Her name is Diamond. And she has, we're calling it incontinence. She will lay down, and it's kind of like she potties in the bed. She'll be laying on her dog bed, and she'll just urinate. Not defecation, but urinate. And so, like, pretty much she'll be laying down, and when she gets up, there's a nice little potty spot where she was laying. And she's great. She's a wonderful dog. She's great with the kids. I would love to have her sleeping, you know, in the kids' room on a dog bed or something like that, or even on the bed. But I just can't trust that we won't have that problem with the urination.
And she's pottying outside during the day okay?
Yeah. So it's not a potty training issue. She knows to go outside. We don't really have a doggy door, but we kind of keep the back door open from time to time, and she'll go on outside and go to the bathroom, defecate outside. It seems like usually when she's sleeping, if she has been asleep for a long period of time and she gets up, whatever blanket or area she's on, there's a nice little urination spot right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
And and I've been told that there's medication I can give her, but no one seems to know the name of the medication, anything about the medication, or just your thoughts.
Okay, absolutely, yes. And when we have a dog, especially a female dog, that is incontinent, leaking urine when they're sleeping or relaxed or getting from a lying position getting up,
yes.
we tend to look for female incontinence medications. And is she spayed by any chance?
Yes, she is.
She is. Okay. Because the number one population we see this in is the spayed female dog. And some thoughts actually recognize this problem could be as high as 15 to 20% of dogs that are spayed. It's one of the reasons that nowadays many folks with the laparoscopic spays are actually just removing the ovaries because it's thought to maybe be implicated with that. But yes, so there are some very useful medicines. And I can tell you my own Labrador is on 2 of those to help control her problem because I recognized it in my dog at 2 years of age. And so the first line medication, I'm going to back up. First, always what I'd like to do first is to check a urine sample, make sure nothing's going on in there. No signs of infection. Make sure there's no crystals that might make us worried about bladder stones, things of that nature. Once that's good, then I'll look at the medicine. And the first one we go to is phenylpropanolamine, Proin is one of the common trade names of that. And that's something that it's generally given twice a day to 3 times a day and can for many dogs do wonderful to help improve the tone in the bladder so that we don't have these leaking episodes. Beyond that, there is also an estrogen compound. It's called diethylstilbestrol, and we abbreviate it DES. And it has to be compounded at a outside pharmacy that makes prescriptions. So you probably won't find that readily at your veterinary office unless they already have someone compounding that. It's not always the first choice because it's an estrogen compound, and we have to kind of watch to make sure we're not giving too much, that it can suppress the bone marrow. We can lead to problems with anemia. I've never seen it. It can happen. And we worry also about, you know, giving too much causing estrogen stimulation. So maybe feeding the concerns with breast cancer. So we want to use this cautiously with veterinary supervision. But I can tell you
What is your dog? You said your dog is on what?
She is on both of those.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. And we actually had her on the phenylpropylamine for quite a few years, and she did well with that. And then eventually we lost control, and she started having leaking. So we added in the DES, and that's usually added in. At first, we start on a daily basis, and then some dogs we get down to just maybe once or twice a week, and that kind of helps control. And it's interesting. Both of these medicines, when they're used together, they work better than one agent by themselves. So it's not unusual that we'll use them together for a pet. And I'll have to tell you that, you know, Dobermans are definitely a breed that can have an incontinence problem, even if they're not spayed. So see that very commonly in these gals. So
could it have anything to do with the tail docking, or is that just not it?
Probably not. And I mentioned that, you know, there is some thought that perhaps having surgery in that area, basically having the uterus removed, might cause some change to the nerves in the area or to, you know, the structure in that area. But now, and then there are some other more extreme techniques, and I can't tell you I've had anybody go through them, but I've heard of some fellow colleagues that pets can have collagen injections into the bladder.
Oh, wow.
And that helps to give a little bit of a thickening to the bladder. And for many dogs, that may work wonderfully, but it can have a temporary effect, so they have to go back for, you know, additional treatments. And that's usually done at specialty centers, vet schools, things of that nature. So not widely used.
Okay, thank you.
We wish you the best of luck with that, Aisha. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, this is Justin Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family. I'm on Animal Radio. Adopt a pet.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
Hi, this is Elaine Boozler on Animal Radio. Spay and neuter your pets and some of your exes.
This is an Animal Radio News Update brought to you by Fear Free. Fear Free takes the pet out of petrified and puts the treat into treatment. To learn more and find a certified Fear Free veterinary professional near you, visit fearfreepets.com.
I'm Lori Brooks. Ibuprofen is the number one medication about which the Animal Poison Control Center receives calls. They say never, ever give a dog ibuprofen without first consulting a veterinarian. This is what we've learned from the annual report issued by the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, which runs the Animal Poison Control Center. This year's report breaks down the most common pet toxins across the nation, and ibuprofen is again number one. By the way, popular brands of ibuprofen include Advil, Motrin, Pediacare Fever, even Midol. Pets, they say, metabolize ibuprofen differently than humans, and even small amounts of it can be dangerous to animals. Giving it to your dog can cause vomiting and lead to seizures, coma, even death. The Animal Poison Control Center's phone number, if you don't have time to look it up, is 888-426-4435. That's one of those ones you want to put on an index card and a magnet on it right there on your refrigerator. There's a new survey out from PetSmart Charities that reveals 66% of Americans say that adopting a pet would make them happier in the long run than winning the lottery. And 64% said giving up their pet would be worse than losing their job. I agree.
Yeah.
There's a rare white moose that has been spotted in western Sweden. Hans Nielsen has spent the last 3 years trying to see an elusive white moose. And last month, he got lucky and crossed paths with one 2 days in a row. Well, he saw the moose on the first day. He was so amazed. On the second day, though, he learned, and he was ready with his camera. The video took the internet by storm. Sweden, by the way, has an estimated 400,000 moose in their moose population. However, only about 100 of them are mostly white. A few of them, like the one that Nielsen saw, have the albino gene and are totally white because their body just doesn't produce enough melanin pigment for color. But most of those 400 rare moose there that have the recessive gene, they are mostly white, but they look all white until you get up close to them. And then you find that they're interspersed with just tiny bits of brown hair. A couple of cats in New York will be living a better life than many of we humans after their loving elderly owner passed away, leaving them $300,000 in her will. The cats are Troy and Tiger, and they're now being cared for by a healthcare aide who had worked with their former owner. So now they are like a lot of Beverly Hills kids, trust fund cats. I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update brought to you by Fear Free. The veterinarian isn't typically thought of as your pet's favorite place to go. With Fear Free, that all changes. To learn more and find a certified Fear Free veterinary professional near you, visit fearfreepets.com.
This is Glenn Close on Animal Radio, urging you to spay or neuter your pet.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets. And I'm just thinking, I'm having a pretty bad hair day myself. Soften the blow, because you're having a really bad hair day.
It's Judy. The humidity here.
And the headphones.
Yes.
You get the headphone hair.
Yes.
In Juneau, Alaska, if we were dogs, that might very well be illegal.
Really?
From the Animal Legal Defense Fund, we have David Rosengard joining us. Hi, David. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Good to be here.
What's the deal behind the bad hair day in Alaska?
So there is a law on the books in Juneau, Alaska, that prohibits bringing dogs into beauty salons, hair parlors, barbershops, anything of that sort.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if your dog's having a bad hair day, you're not going to be able to get it help in any kind of human establishment. And my guess is that probably dates back to before Juno had any infrastructure for dog, you know, grooming. And there may have been someone trying to sneak their dog into a human beauty salon.
Sure. Are there weird other laws regarding animals on the books?
Oh, sure. There are a great many of them. And part of it has to do with the way that animal law has grown up over time. You know, it comes out of all kinds of different relationships we have with animals. One, for example, is in California, you can have jumping frogs, and you can have frogs that you might eat, but they can't be the same. So if you have a frog compete in a jumping competition, it is ineligible for use in any sort of frog-related dish. And that's interesting because it's the same frog, and it points to sort of the way that under the law, animals get treated differently, not based on who they are, but based on how people relate to them, which is part of why we include it in our list of weird and wacky laws.
So if your frog loses the race, you can't eat it?
You cannot, no. That would be right off the menu.
Where do you find these laws? I mean, are these just obscure laws on the books that you have to go searching for?
You do. So we, in the course of our legal work, which here in the Animal Legal Defense Fund's criminal justice program largely consists of trying to ensure that animals victimized by crime get justice, we work with a lot of different state laws, a lot of different county ordinances, and we try to keep track of the weird ones we run across. So as we're doing some other research, if we see, for example, an ordinance that says in Skamania County, Washington, you cannot shoot Bigfoot or you'll be punished by a misdemeanor, we try to keep track of that.
Before we find out some more unusual laws, tell us a little bit about the Animal Legal Defense Fund.
Sure. So we're a nonprofit organization of attorneys. We've been around since about 1979, and our mission is to advance the interest and improve the lives of animals through the legal system. So we do that in a variety of different ways. As I said, in the criminal justice program, we work on making sure that animal crimes are taken seriously and that law enforcement and prosecutors have the tools they need to get justice in those cases. My colleagues in the legislative program work for stronger, better animal laws. My colleagues in the litigation program do similar things on the civil side. And we, of course, have a program also devoted to educating people about animal law. So we're operating broadly throughout the United States to try to help animals get a better shake out of the justice system.
Yeah. And do the attorneys that work for you, do they volunteer their time, or are they how are they compensated?
So we've got both. We've got a core group of full-time staff attorneys. This is what we do each and every day, is fight for animals through the legal system. We also have a very large pro bono network of attorneys who may have entirely unrelated practices, but they do volunteer work for us on the behalf of animals.
You know, here in California, we get lots of calls about ferrets, but here in California, where the studio is, we're not allowed to have ferrets. What is the reasoning behind that? Why is it some states allow it and some states don't?
Yeah, so California is one of the only two states that doesn't allow it, and is the only non-island state. The other one, of course, is Hawaii. And the legal reason in California is because, as far as California law is concerned, ferrets are exotic wild animals. The more practical reason seems to have to do with concerns about invasive species and the impact on agriculture. And this is where I think Hawaii and California have sort of different scenarios. Hawaii, being an island and having a lot of history with invasive species, has very clear concerns about what would happen if tiny weasels got loose in their state. California already has a variety of weasel creatures in the state, so it's harder to really see what the practical concern with ferrets is, particularly because domestic ferrets are not known for their, shall we say, self-preservation skills. They don't tend to do well in the wild. Mm-hmm.
Denver, Colorado is a place you can just drive down the street and get a dime bag of pot, but if you have a pit bull, it's illegal. It's one of the places with breed bans. Where does the ALDF stand on that?
So we're opposed to breed bans for a variety of reasons. Fundamentally, they don't work. The things they're meant to address are preventing harmful interactions between humans and dogs, and they just don't serve that purpose. The data indicates that it's not really the breed of an animal that speaks to its likelihood to, for example, bite someone. It's how it's socialized, how it's trained, and the environment it's kept in. And that's really true regardless of what the breed of dog is. Also, we find that the impact of those laws is that it makes it more likely that banned dogs, or dogs that look like a banned breed, will end up abandoned, abused, or in shelters, because it creates sort of a doggy criminal underclass, which serves no one well.
We're with David Rosengard. He's the staff attorney for the Animal Legal Defense Fund, doing very serious work, but we're going to find out some of the weird laws on the books coming up next right here on Animal Radio. Stick around.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, this is Paul Reiser, and you're listening to Animal Radio. Every minute you're here, you're not harming someone else. I don't know what that means. If it's usable, use it. Otherwise, cut it and get out.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
Thinking of flying to Florida with Fido? Lisa Weisberg from the ASPCA says the safest place for your pet is under your seat in the main cabin. Be sure your pet is properly identified with your contact information. A checkup with the vet is always a good idea. Some short-nosed breeds like pugs and bulldogs have trouble getting enough air in flight. Contact your travel agent to find out what animal health documents might be required where you're going. You'll also want to get your pet familiar with the carrying case by letting them spend some relaxing, non-flying time in there. For more information, you and Fido can log on to www.aspca.org/travel tips. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
We're with David Rosengard. He's the staff attorney for the Animal Legal Defense Fund. Okay, give us some more of these just way wacky animal laws that are still on the books or have been on the books.
Sure. Well, one of my favorites, as I alluded to earlier, is a law out of Washington State that originally made it a felony crime to shoot Bigfoot. It's been since downgraded to a misdemeanor. But this is fascinating because Bigfoot, depending on where your listeners may fall in their belief spectrum, Bigfoot is either an urban myth or perhaps an undiscovered cryptozoological creature. But regardless, there hasn't been historically a big problem with Bigfoot getting shot. What this law speaks to, for me, is a recognition that ecotourism and people seeing and experiencing wildlife is powerful. You know, if someone shoots Bigfoot once, that person gets the benefit, the experience of encountering Bigfoot, but denies it to everyone else. If Bigfoot is out there and you can see Bigfoot in Washington State, that benefits a lot of people. That generates tourism dollars, it generates interest, and it's better for Bigfoot. And that, I think, is the other portion of this. It's an acknowledgement that, you know, this creature that is, you know, in urban mythology meant to be the quote-unquote missing link between humans and the rest of the world is a sentient creature, just like all animals are, and it deserves not to be subject to cruelty and, you know, wanton death.
Sure, sure, absolutely.
What about the horses in Ohio?
Yes, in Ohio, where you are not allowed to permit your horses to have special horsey sexy time on the streets. But notably, that only applies to male horses. And I've been told, since we put this list out, I've been told by people with more horse knowledge than I, that it's often the mayor who initiates. So this law, I imagine, is meant to prevent awkward scenes from playing out on the streets of Ohio, but it looks like they may be targeting the wrong horses in this scenario.
Oh, yeah, okay. And finally, I understand in Georgia, the llama has extra protection. Is that correct?
It is correct. It is. So a lot of states have what are called equine activity statutes, which essentially say if you're out horseback riding or, you know, attending a show with horses, there's a certain amount of risk that comes with that, and you assume that risk. Georgia extends that to llamas, which is interesting because those statutes historically grew up in a time where people interacted with horses in their daily lives. Everyone knew that there were certain risks to being around horses. I don't know if we've ever had a moment in American history where people knew those same risks applied to llamas, but in Georgia, you'd better be up on your llama knowledge.
Okay, there you go. Hey, if you want to learn more about the Animal Legal Defense Fund, check out ALDF.org, ALDF.org. We'll put links to everything you've heard on today's show over at AnimalRadio.com. David, thanks so much for hanging with us today.
Thank you. A pleasure.
Hey, Glenn.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Where are you calling from?
From Southern Oregon.
Southern Oregon. Are you driving through or you live there?
No, I live here.
It's a beautiful place, isn't it?
It is. It is. I like it here.
So what's going on with your animals? I got Dr. Debbie right here.
Hi there.
Hi, how you doing, Dr. Debbie?
I'm doing great.
This is the first time I've heard your radio show, and I think I'll listen to it now. So,
great.
Right now we have an 8-year-old Vizsla male, and the strange thing is he will not eat out of his food bowl, dry food. He has to tip the bowl over, and he'll eat it off the floor. Or if you take a handful out and put it on the floor, he'll eat it on the floor. We've changed bowls like 4 or 5 times. I'm just wondering why he does that. Is that just some idiosyncrasy that he has?
Yeah, it could just be an idiosyncrasy because some dogs have this where, you know, they'll either paw the little kibbles out and put them on the ground or pick them up with their mouth and set them to the side and then ingest them. The first thing I always do is I look at the feeding arrangement and I'll start with that. So if they're in a round bowl with high sides, I'll go to actually like a platter, different styles of bowls, ceramic versus stainless steel. I've had dogs that don't like their reflection in stainless steel. And then also just changing the site that you're feeding. So not just playing with bowls, but going from, you know, say a carpeted area to a tiled area, different parts of the house. And if none of that changes and he still does this behavior, then I just kind of say, he's got a little quirk. So he likes to serve himself, if you will.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the call. Take care.
All right.
Hey, thanks for hanging with us today. If you need your fix, head on over to animalradio.com and download the free Animal Radio app for your iPhone or your Android or your BlackBerry. Do it now, okay? Have yourself a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
See you next week.
This is Animal Radio Network.